Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you, Kelly? Oh, my God.
Good Lord, baby Jesus.
Your husband put my spider bite
to shame,
on the boob.
Right?
To shame. What the heck?
Well, we don't know if it's a spider bite or it's a skin infection, but he got cellulitis. Not cellulite. Cellulitis.
No, he doesn't have any cellulite.
No. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. So that was my week. Well, I mean, we had a good weekend otherwise.
Bit
I should
on
start
the elbow. You showed me the picture.
You don't know if it's he had a cut there too. I think it's probably more of a cut that got infected. So, yeah.
Well, what made you think it might have been a spider? Did you see the spider? Did you smash
because
it?
Because his dad was curious. His dad's a doctor. Was curious if it might have been a spider bite. So we don't know. Sort of like one of those mysteries. But the interesting thing is, I think they treat it the same. So whether
it's
you have a spider
infection.
Bite. Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's like, doesn't really matter. But it's so funny how people, I think it's just like human nature. Like we want to know the answer. Like, well, what is
right.
it? Is it a spider bite? Is it cut? You know, like
well, you want something to blame, right? You
exactly.
want something to attack and kill. I mean, that's what,
or
I was glad I found that spider in my bra. Boom, done.
Right. Exactly. No, this is just more of, I think, trying to take control of the situation. But no, but other than that, we had our 12th anniversary and we went to the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which was so much fun and just like laid out by the pool and napped.
Oh,
and literally,
happy anniversary.
Oh, thanks. You're so cute.
That's so sweet.
And
good
then we
for
went,
you.
And then we went to a jazz bar. And so we had a great weekend aside from the elbow that looked like a boob. Really, it was that big. I'm not kidding. I swear, your spider bite boob and his elbow.
I doubled
boob.
My boob size.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what, though? It inspired me. I have been wanting to go to an allergist forever because, you know, I think I'm allergic to bees. That's what happened the last time I got stung by a bee. My entire foot swelled up. They said I was going to have, if I hadn't gone to the emergency room, they had blood poisoning. Like, I'm
really?
Going to die kind of thing. Like, was it an infected bee? Was it just the bee? So I have just run around cohabitating with bees my whole life, and I don't really know whether I'm allergic or not. So allergic. I can't even say the word.
How is Ventura?
Ventura was amazing. We had the best time. Okay, best place in the world. Plan B. It's literally called Plan B.
Not
it's
the contraceptive.
No. It's, it is a hole-in-the-wall winery, wine-tasting place in Ventura.
Okay.
And it's in an industrial section, and it is adorable.
Really?
Outdoor, there was a 70s and 80s band called Unusual Suspects. I'll give them a plug because they were amazing.
Yeah.
And people 80 years old were up dancing.
That's
I mean,
so
it
cute.
Was a huge age range. And we just, you know, share a bottle of wine. We met some other people. We
That's
made
so
this
nice.
Date with these ladies, this couple and their friend. They were there. We danced with them, had fun. And we're like, we didn't exchange cards. 1 month from today, when they have the next event, we're all going to show up.
Oh, my God, that's so
and
cute.
Meet. What is that, A Night to Remember or something like that? Like a year later,
yeah,
the couple, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's very cute.
That's so fun.
Yeah, so super, super, super fun. Uh-huh. I have to say that, so something that what I saw on your Facebook about London.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This you must share with the world because
please,
this is
horrible.
Hysterical.
So, my 4.5-year-old son, the little devil that he is, says to me, we came home from camp and he picks up my dog's medicated pill and says, oh, Mommy, I just ate one of these. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, London, no, did you really? And he's like, yeah, I ate one. And I was like, no, London, listen, this is really serious. Like, you have to tell Mommy, because if you did, I need to call poison control because this is very dangerous. And he's like, I did. I'm sorry. And I was like freaking out. So I call poison control. I call the pill company.
Oh my God.
I'm freaking out like a good Jewish mom, pacing back and forth. And after I hung up with the poison control, he's like, just kidding, Mommy. I didn't eat it.
When I saw that on Facebook, I'm like, is he a Trump?
Or is exactly it's it like it's it,
you know
it, beyond.
You got it from David. You said David, your husband, is the best prankster on the planet.
Yes.
So he's already learning, and he's such a watchful little guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So he's observing. And
well, April Fools, he better run. That's all I have to say. I'm getting him back. I'm serious.
You should put Remy's poop in London's pants.
Oh my God, that would be so funny.
And tell him you pooped in the middle of the night.
That is actually really gross. But anyway, yes.
Well, no grosser than you throwing a 12-year-old birthday party for your dog.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's your other child. It's your vaginal birth child.
It's my only vaginal birth child. He needs to be celebrated. I'm literally having a party for my dog. And invited all, like, the furry friends and everybody.
I love it. Well, I hope I can make it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's 10 in the morning.
So, 2 weeks ago, because we weren't here last week, we did play a repeat of the three T's. Yes, the Tito Jackson's Sons.
Yes.
And so that was a great show if you missed that. But also we need to plug Faith Sally, who was our guest 2 weeks ago, the author of Approval Junkie. She's just the coolest lady.
She was fabulous.
So fabulous.
Really funny and articulate. So if you missed that show, it's really great. It's all about approval and how we all want it. No one's immune.
And
that's
she gave us approval.
Discovered.
She gave
did.
Us approval on our Doc and Therapist website. She actually
did.
Wrote a really nice review for us.
She did. She's great. She's wonderful.
But today, drum yes. roll, very, 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 very excited because we have an in-studio guest, and that's always my favorite when
I
we
know.
Can have that because we get to see her pretty face. And her name is Shelley Diane Love All. Can you believe that name? It's
I
so
love,
cool.
Love All.
Not spelled that way, but it's pronounced Love All. Shelley Diane is a 53-year-old mother of two grown sons, has been married for 25 years this year. She has worked in the medical field for the last 20 years. After going through a family crisis beginning in 2013, she realized she needed to share her story and insight on codependency, thus writing her book, Winds of Change, How to Live a Life of Peace, Love, and Happiness, Letting Go of Codependency. In the midst of the crisis, a series of synchronicities took place that led her to discovering and living her true life's purpose. Along with the book, she volunteers some of her time to help battered women find their sovereignty in this world. She is also a Reiki, she's going to correct me on that one, master and offers energy healing sessions. Hello and welcome, Shelley Diane.
Hi, nice to be here.
Oh, we're so,
so glad you're here too. Oh my gosh, so what a treat. So we got here early and you gave us a little, we want to talk about your book, but we also want to talk about, is it Reiki or Reiki?
Reiki. It's
Reiki. Reiki. Okay, we want to talk about that a little bit. So what was your
experience? I'm like falling asleep. That's how I feel. It was so relaxing. Like it was just mellow yellow, like a couple glasses of wine. That's how I feel.
You don't drink wine.
If I did, that's okay. How I would feel.
Well, Shelley, tell us about that process, and then I'll share a little bit of my experience of it, too.
Like how I got into it, or how...
That, all of it.
Well, I got into doing and learning the Reiki and becoming a Reiki master because I was meditating, and I started with a meditation that was aimed at helping me heal my emotional body. And I realized that I was able to direct the energy around my body, literally put a pulse in my big toe if I wanted to, or put it in my neck, or put it in my back. And so that led me to researching and eventually finding a Reiki master who would take me on as a student, and here I am.
That's incredible.
So, yeah.
So I think we should just explain to the normal person what Reiki is.
We don't have any normal listeners.
No, they're all abnormal.
We are. Yeah, who would listen to two abnormal people unless
exactly,
we unless love you all, whoever is listening. Thank you.
But yeah, can you just kind of give us a breakdown, maybe a little bit
the
about
chakras.
What...
chakras.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Reiki is a healing technique that's based on the principle that energy flows through one person, being me.
Mm-hmm.
So I work as a conduit. And by the use of touch, it goes into the other person that I'm working with. And it benefits your physical, mental, and emotional well-being, your physical, mental, and emotional bodies, if you will. And it's great by itself, or it can be used in conjunction with Western medicine. So some of my clients are on Western medicine, like medications. They don't want to be on so many medications, just for pains in their bodies. So they're trying to pull away from that and trying this as an alternative, or in sometimes conjunction with Western medicine.
That's awesome. So you gave a, like, I think she did the same for you. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I did
okay.
both for
yeah.
this.
So we had like a 15-minute session, and the experience was that you were pulling energy out in our different chakras, which are called the...
You have seven chakra centers, and they're the root chakra, sacral, solar plexus, heart, throat, third eye, and crown chakras. And so I use the crystals in that to first break up the any stagnant energy in your auric field and around those chakras. And then on the way back, we pull in all positive energy, high vibrational energy, to put back into your chakras to kind of balance you and keep you flowing, the energy flowing through the chakras, so that prevents illness. Because when those chakras are clogged, if you will, from any kind of emotional stress or any kind of things like that, illness can set in those areas. You know, if you experience ulcers or, you know, back pain or, you know, problems with your throat, often that is related to just needing to be open and cleared. And I mean, a lot of like working with the crystals and stuff goes back thousands of years. So that's why I incorporate that.
So from our end, I'll just describe a little bit like what it was like for me. I felt the heat when you were going over each chakra. It was kind of cool. I don't know if you felt that too, Deborah, but it was almost like I felt the energy. I felt heat, which is really cool. So that was kind of my experience.
I don't need to feel any more heat.
Right? Oh, that's true. You're like, bring me cold.
And you helped prevent that. You took more of the heat, I think.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
Curiously, so now if someone doesn't, like, we didn't share with you anything that we're going through in our lives or anything like that, can you feel any of that? Or is it just, you're just neutral? You're just a conduit that just cleanses?
I am a neutral conduit. However, when I'm going around your body to the different, over the different organs and places over your body, I can, I sense, because I've kind of attuned myself to you, so I can sense sometimes if there's an area that's needing more attention than another area. Like I felt like, for instance, with Kelly, that there was something in her lower back, because I'll feel more energy around where I'm laying my hands. And you can focus it. I mean, it can be tailored to any specific area or to whole body.
Sure. Did you feel anything on me?
I felt very, very, like you were very balanced and good.
I am such a good actress.
You put on a good front. Well,
but you know, I was actually, because I've been doing a lot of yoga and Pilates now, I have seen a tremendous benefit in just breathing, in the way that I'm breathing, because I actually am under a fair amount of stress. But what was really curious to me is, as you were clearing before you were putting back in, when you said the throat, my entire throat clenched, because there are a few things I want to say to a few people that I'm not saying, and then somehow I was resistant to you putting positive energy back in, but then afterwards it was relaxed. So I don't, that was a very profound moment when you were doing that. It was interesting.
That's
like, whoa,
good.
You said throat. And I'm like, blah.
Right.
Well, it's so funny that you said that, because I was just sharing with a friend the same sort of experience happened to me. I went to she didn't call herself Reiki, but it was like an energy healer. And when she got to my throat, I couldn't stop coughing. It was so, really?
Yes.
I could not stop coughing. It was so strange. And then 2 weeks later, we moved to LA, and I always credit this energy healer, because I think my truth was I really wanted to be back in LA. We were on the East Coast, and I think that was part of it.
You just wanted to be next to me.
Well, that's true. It was so sweet. Deborah, I'll never forget you crying when I told you I was coming back.
Oh, I was the happiest person on the planet.
So cute. So
adorable. I know. It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah, so now do you do that full time? Is that your...
No, I actually have a full-time job. I work in the medical field.
Doing?
So, I'm a registered cardiovascular ultrasound technician.
Oh, so cool.
Cool.
So that's what I do full-time for the past 20 years. And I realized over all the years that I've been working with people and listening to them, that's also kind of the Reiki came into play with that too, because I realized that a lot of times people need to release things. They need to release things that they're holding in, and so that they can move forward and maybe not be so sick.
Yes.
And not have so many office visits.
Absolutely.
Sure.
That is awesome. And so you do that, but you do have a practice, so if people want to find you for that, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, but we're here also because we want to talk about your book.
I'm dying to hear about the book.
So her book is Winds of Change, How to Live a Life of Peace, Love, and Happiness, Letting Go of Codependency. So why did you write this book?
Well, I wrote the book because I after everything I had been through and my healing, and really finding out, learning a lot about myself, and what my role was with my codependent relationships, I was really half just as much as responsible for those relationships and the way they were as the other person was. Mm-hmm. But I didn't look at it that way before. I looked more at myself as I was a victim, and why are they doing this to me? Mm-hmm. And then once I realized through Al-Anon, you know, that I was an enabler, mm-hmm. That really led me to, it changed my life and changed those relationships. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to write the book because I was hoping that some people out there would relate my story with what they're living, mm-hmm. and realize that they can change what they're in.
Sure.
They don't have to be stuck in those relationships.
Can you share with us a little bit about kind of your experience and what kind of, you know, took you to this place?
What kind of relationships,
yeah,
those were?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my son became an alcoholic as a teenager, and we spent many years battling that with him, mm-hmm. and trying to help him. Mm-hmm. And then in his early 20s, he became a heroin addict, mm-hmm. and that was, it really wrecked me.
Sure.
And I wasn't sure how I was going to deal with that. I had to pick myself back up and take responsibility for my role in it. Mm-hmm. And once I learned that I needed to let him live his life, I needed to let him pick himself up, mm-hmm. that I couldn't continue to do it for him.
Makes sense.
And it was like releasing all those years of burden off of me. Mm-hmm. And it also was one of the hardest things I ever had to do because he was my son.
Sure.
And I had to watch him struggle.
Yeah.
And watch him do it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to stand back and just be,
yeah,
loving and supportive in a way where I wasn't intrusive and, mm-hmm. making him do it my way.
Sure. That's, I can't imagine. Yeah.
So my mom passed when I was fairly young, you know, early 30s, and she was, some would call her addicted, if not anorexic and those kinds of things, and I finally got sort of that concept, and I said, Mom, I can't continue to participate in these conversations this way. You call and you complain and you ask me how I am, but it's always about you and how unhappy you are and all that stuff, and yada yada. I said, I'm happy to get you help. Mm-hmm. And she then told me I was the worst daughter on the entire planet, and she died the next week.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to live with that, when I then brought that to working with a lot of the addiction recovery centers in Malibu and running family,
okay,
programs. And the one thing that I said, and you'll help me understand if this has been helpful, most of the families said it was helpful, is I would let the parents know or the significant other that you have to be okay with losing this person to death.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can make acceptance of that, because, mm-hmm. you are never going to stop that. That's not something you can,
right,
stop. People,
right,
would look at me like, what a cruel thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd, right,
say, you're going to thank me at some point.
Right.
Is that kind of what you,
yeah, absolutely,
yeah,
and people did. I was harshly judged by some people, mm. for letting him go,
mm.
and he was homeless, and you do have to accept that,
yeah,
and knowing that responsibility is not on you, that they are grown, mm. adult people,
mm-hmm.
and they have made these conscious choices,
mm-hmm.
of,
yeah,
their own.
Right.
And they have to take responsibility for, mm-hmm. their choices,
mm-hmm.
and I had to take responsibility, mm-hmm. for mine. And at one point, we did have to report him as a missing person and,
mm.
face that,
wow.
that reality, what could be possible reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was well enough at that point that I could accept it, and I knew I would be able to get through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And what's your relationship like now?
It's much healthier because, mm-hmm. I learned how to set boundaries.
Right.
That is not something I knew how to do before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I learned that, mm-hmm. through Al-Anon and through the Recovery Show podcast, for the friends and family of alcoholics and drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful podcast. And so I learned how to set boundaries, and that helps us stay clear.
Yeah.
And sometimes he does try to push, and, mm-hmm. then I have to remind him the boundaries.
Yeah.
And he's good, and that's, mm-hmm. why we still have a relationship, because he'll go, okay,
mm-hmm.
I get it. My other very toxic codependent relationship was with my own mother, mm-hmm. and she refused to take the boundaries. Mm. It made her more angry, and I was not a good daughter either, you know. Mm-hmm. I got the same kind of feedback and from siblings. So I tried for a while with the boundaries for that, and she wasn't willing to accept the boundaries, so I just sort of stepped out of that mm-hmm. relationship.
Sure. Mm.
And I'm very good with that decision. I've grown a lot. I've been able to grow a lot from it because I was able to stop focusing on them and their problems mm-hmm. and help giving to myself sure. what I needed for so many years sure. was to mm-hmm. figure out who I was. Mm-hmm.
So is the book, so again, we're talking with Shelley Diane Loveall, and her book is Winds of Change, How to Live a Life of Peace, Love, and Happiness, Letting Go of Codependency. So is it more kind of a memoir of your experiences? Is it more as kind of like helping people with similar situations?
Yeah, it's sort of a chronological story of when the crisis really started with my son, and mm-hmm. kind of my mom was interjected in that timeline, and kind of gives you the steps on how I started healing myself.
Yeah.
In the midst of all the chaos, I was letting them go and gaining my own independence, and the steps I took, like meditation and just all the different the service work, mm-hmm. helping others, all those things helped me to heal.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think for our listeners, it's so important to understand this concept of letting go, and sometimes saying no to a loved one is not out of cruelty, because so many people feel so guilty about taking those steps, but you really cannot help somebody who isn't willing to help themselves. So the more you try, it's like getting sucked into a vacuum at full power, mm-hmm. and you can't get out, you know, and they will just keep chewing.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm proud of you, and I don't need to know you to be proud of you.
Right.
But
thank you. I'm proud of me. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
You should be. You're proud of you. Yeah, because that's yeah. such a big step, because it is socially and culturally stigmatized to do that, but it really
Absolutely.
Is sometimes the very best decision we can make.
Well, he may not have ever gotten himself into the rehab if I mm-hmm. hadn't. If I hadn't forced him out, he might not have ever gotten into the rehab and gotten well, and he has been clean for almost 3 years.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's
amazing. Awesome.
Not to say he doesn't still struggle with alcohol, but he is clean from that, and he uh-huh. but he's doing it himself. He's walking on his own.
Wow, yes,
two
great.
Feet.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful.
And I want to make a pitch for Al-Anon too, for those of you who don't know what it is. It's a support group for men and women who are experiencing someone close to them who has a problem with alcohol or drugs, and it's just a wonderful support group. And you can have had a father or mother who struggled with it, have a child, have a husband, a boyfriend. I mean, it's pretty open.
Yes.
Yeah, and the great variations too, like ACA, Adult Children's
yes.
and Alcoholics,
yes.
CODA for codependency, and mm-hmm. also
Alateen, for
yes.
teenagers, yeah,
those who are
yes.
old enough to understand but not independent enough to go to
yes.
something themselves.
Exactly.
Parents can take their children to
yes.
that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a non-judgmental environment, mm-hmm. because you're all have been in the same boat.
Sure.
Yeah, and if you are going to undertake that process, you know, go to several meetings, because a lot of people go to one meeting and go, I didn't like that.
Yes.
Bunch of whiners, bunch
yeah,
of complainers.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
well, yeah, that might be a bunch of whiners and complainers, so go to another one.
Exactly.
Don't become a whiner and complainer.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of
right.
help out there for you, right?
It's
yes.
true. It's very
people
true.
And the podcast
will listen.
Help
yes.
because they're that you can do the podcast at any time.
That's
so
great.
If you have a busy schedule, which was the case for me,
mm-hmm.
I work long hours, and so the podcast I could listen to. I'd have my choice of a selection of anything
wow.
on the podcast, and I could listen to it on the way to work,
right,
or coming
exactly.
home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
and
wonderful.
For those who are not interested in 12-step, because it does have the spiritual mm-hmm. component, which is absolutely fine, there are a number of books out there mm-hmm. on codependency, but yours, the top of the list.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. So, yeah, so, you know, get help, because
right.
if you can't do this on your own, then you definitely mm-hmm. need to get help. I want to, you know, codependency is one of those words we use
all the time. It's like a buzzword.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your definition of it, and also if it's always a bad thing.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
So for me, because it does have a quite a range, and so for me it was a dysfunctional helping relationship where I mm-hmm. enabled another person's drug or alcohol addiction. or enabled, in the case of my mother, I enabled her enabling the drug and alcoholics siblings of mine. And so I was constantly being drugged into her enabling them.
And then you were the bad seed if you didn't participate.
And so and that stemmed from my chaotic childhood, where drugs and alcohol were a big part of it with my mom and stepfather, and I learned to become that enabling codependent person as a young child. So as I grew into an adult, I became kind of a controlling person. I wanted to control all that, and so as long as I was helping them and keeping their lives all together, then my life was okay.
Sure.
And it wasn't healthy.
Sure.
It was toxic, and that's all I did on my spare time was busy helping him or them. And it's just a chaotic way to live. You can't concentrate on your own self, your own life.
And I love how candid you are about telling your story the book.
Thank you.
Is really cool. I mean, I really think that it embraces who you are, and then it allows people to have a context, because sometimes writers just write and they don't write anything about themselves, and it's like, who is this person? What do they really know about this?
Yeah, well, I put myself out there because there's some real personal things in there, but I really felt that it would help people connect with me, because a lot of people have had kind of some horrible things happen to them in their lives, and you can learn to overcome it.
Sure.
And those things.
Sure. Well, I want to know how Reiki connects with all the codependency. Like, how in your mind do you feel like it can help heal somebody who's going through this?
I relate it to, for me, because I started learning how to meditate in my some of my darkest moments, kind of accidentally, feeling the peace when something really bad happened, you know, with my son leaving the rehab, and I just kind of laid on the floor, and that's when I felt such a peace come over me, and I was like, well, gosh, who ever gives himself enough time to ever feel this?
Yeah.
Who just gives themselves a few minutes? And that's when I started researching meditation, and then, like I said, then I started realizing I felt like I could direct my energy, and I feel like it... by learning to relax and getting into that mode of just resting and relaxing and working with another person with your energy and your auric field, that you can heal your emotional body.
Right.
And when you are in toxic relationships like this, you carry that around you. You carry it in your auric field and around your emotional body. So that's why I feel like the two of them, you know, can be intermingled as part of a healing process.
So curiously, now that you asked about Reiki again, what else would we have gotten in our session? Right, we talked about.
She's like, what did we miss?
What else comes? What comes with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do more things with the crystals and crystal grid around the body. To help, because crystals hold energy and they emit frequencies, energy. Mm-hmm. They're the most natural thing on this planet that grow on this planet. They're a living vibrational thing. We're all vibration and energy.
Sure.
So they've been used for thousands of years to help. So I do offer that. And then also healing with copper. Sitting under a copper pyramid that is filled with quartz crystals. If you ever seen the hieroglyphs in the Egyptian pyramids, they're holding these rods, and they're copper, and they used to fill them with crystal.
Huh.
And you can see them in the glyphs passing them off to each other. They truly believe that, and copper is a conduit for energy, natural conduit for energy. And so I offer that as well. Most of all of it is natural. I also offer advice on tincturing herbs and teas, different kinds of teas. Mostly all herbal, to get away from, you know, pharmaceuticals.
Sure.
Because it's American, and a lot of people are taking a lot of pharmaceuticals to either sleep, to wake up, to exercise, to not eat.
Exactly.
So,
curiously, have you ever started somebody on one of your herbal programs with Reiki and doing the whole program than seeing an actual scientific change in either their blood levels of cholesterol or blood pressure?
No, I haven't really done a lot with offering people those. What I try to do is offer them on how to tincture, because then you get into things with business and, you know, I have to be FDA approved. So more, right. It's more advice on this is how mm-hmm. you can use this herb, and this is how you tincture it, mm-hmm. and this is how you would take it if you were to do that.
Okay, what do you recommend for high blood pressure?
High blood pressure. I would have to get out my books. And
okay,
look,
all right. Well, I may be calling you.
Look that up. Yes.
My daughter, actually, her boyfriend, Michael, he's now doing a lot of medicines he's making. So he gave me a tincture that I've been trying. But if I don't take my medication, my blood pressure can go to like 170 over 120.
Really?
Like, that's like stroke material. So I'm just not comfortable yet messing with that.
Yeah.
But I'm experimenting now, taking my blood pressure twice a day, adding that in and seeing if
it's
lower than it was before to see if it has some sort of effect.
Sure.
Because I am a scientist.
Right, exactly.
Yes, that's awesome that you have somebody in your family so close to you that can do that with you.
Oh, yeah. And my daughter, Tiffany, she's all into crystals now, too. She has this beautiful crystal I have in my car. So if I've had a tough day, I do that.
And really? Which one is it?
It's the pink one.
It's like that rose quartz.
Yes.
Rose quartz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love rose quartz.
Yes. And I use that. But I forgot how she told me how to clean it.
Uh-huh.
How do you get rid of the energy in the crystal?
Well, you can either sage it. White sage. Or you can wash it off. Mm-hmm. Some people use salt water. I feel like salt water is a little harsh, but on some crystals. Mm-hmm. So I usually just wash them off. I sage them. And then I always put them out in the sunlight afterwards, or the full moon.
Well, that's nice.
So there is several ways do it. But so especially after working like with you guys today, the crystals I used, I will cleanse those and I will put them outside to re-energize them. Mm-hmm.
Did I get any of your energy since I went after you and she didn't clean them?
That's so funny. Hopefully some great fun energy.
Well, you guys have great energy between you, I'm sure
so
all is well.
Well, you did make me funnier today.
That is so...
Wasn't I funnier
today? Yes, I was thinking that.
Darn it.
I brought some humor waves over there. So funny. That's great.
Oh, you should go in after me then. I don't know what you'll get.
So I have another question for you. So... do you do numerology also?
I do. I am certified ascended numerologist, and so I offer charts.
Oh, cool!
In doing that, and
based on your birthday, correct?
Well, it's actually based on your birth location,
okay,
your birth day, uh-huh, and your birth name.
Oh, okay.
And then I work out the sequence of numbers, and then I chart them on what you would envision as a clock.
Oh, cool.
So you can see where it can take you. Like the ancients used it to kind of see what their life path might be.
Mm.
Or you can also do questions, like after I do a basic foundation of your birth date, birth name, and your birth location. Say you wanted to move to New York in September of next year.
Oh.
I would take those dates and I would take that location and I would work that out in the numerical sequences.
Oh, cool.
And I would overlay that onto your foundation and I would be able to tell whether that is, you know, there's a big spiritual component too.
Yeah.
That if that's a good move for you or not, or a good time or not.
That's so interesting.
By the way, it lays.
You're
out
not moving.
On your
no, I'm staying here. I was thinking about
but
you.
But I might be.
I was thinking about you. Yes.
Don't get nervous.
I'm going to call you because I want to know about that. I have a Santa Fe move coming up someday. I just haven't determined when.
Where you want to go?
I know where. I know where. Got the address. Bought the house. But
okay.
But it's rented. Just,
like,
just got to be the right time.
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh.
So
what does the ascended part mean?
It's just the name of the certification program that I took is what they refer to it as.
So there's different variations of numerology.
There are variations of numerology. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
And this is a different variation that in that your location really matters. Even if you have say you write a book under a pen name, you can use your pen name or what people call you, like what is your formal name, mm-hmm. and then we can also chart what is what everyone calls you.
Oh, that's so funny.
And how does that play into your whole chart, the effects of all of it.
I have a friend named Suzanne who loves to still call me Debbie, but she begrudges me that she continues to have to call me Deborah because Debbie was the name that everybody
used to call.
Deborah was called Debra when I was a kid, which was just awful. So I changed to Debbie, and then once I got to college, nobody knew me as Debbie, so it became Deborah because that's my name. And so some of the people who show up out of the woodwork after all these years still want to call you Debbie.
Yes, and so I will bet if I was to chart that, that would play into your professional career as an adult, and you would see your forward movement in your profession by using your name Deborah.
Yes. You are very particular about the name because remember when I would call you Deb, it was like you gave
Deb
me a look.
Deb is tolerable because it is a shortened version of Deborah. But when I introduce myself as Deborah and someone immediately starts calling me Debbie,
Debbie,
then it's like, did I say my name was Debbie? No, because Deborah and Debbie are a different.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny.
What if I started calling you Culligan instead of, oh, hi, Kelly. Oh, hi, Culligan.
I totally get it. My babysitter, Susie, she hates her full name, Susan. Oh, she doesn't like Sue either. Remy, my son, calls her Susan. It's so funny because he's like, well, that's your birth name. Like, I can't, and it's just so funny. So she tolerates it from him. But one time he was like talking about her and he's like, and Susan. And so I was like, yeah, and Susan. And she looks at me and she's like
you are not permitted.
Yes. She's like, Susie. You know, it was really funny. So people are particular.
Sometimes, though, people also, it's because that word was used in a way, like my neighbor, her name is actually Caroline.
Okay.
But her mother used to call her Caroline when she was in trouble. So she goes by Carolyn.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Because the name Caroline has the association of she was a bad girl.
Oh.
You know? And she's not. She's so sweet.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is exciting. So you are just like a woman of all sorts of...
Of trades here.
Yes.
Well, just wanting to offer more of a spiritual component in with the Reiki, and because that in and of itself does have a spiritual component. Anyway, it does for me. So I like to offer people that because I feel today everybody's very busy going, what am I getting? What do I need to make? What car do I need to get? And they don't really think about themselves as a spiritual being. Mm-hmm. And I think if people are able to connect with that part of themselves, it can really, they can live such a much more fuller life.
Sure.
I want to know about angels.
I know. Well, you know, people might think I'm a little nutty.
I don't.
Are you kidding?
So
I told you, we are all nuts. Whoever listens to us must be nuts or they wouldn't listen to us.
It's true.
Well, I do sense angels around me.
Okay.
And around you or others?
I definitely have them around me.
Okay.
I'm not sure about sensing them around other people, but for myself, when I started meditating, not only did I feel something with me, but I also saw a pink aura, if you will, in my mind's eye. Mm. And I was just so curious about what that was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about it. And I got a psychic reading, which is something I had never done.
Really? With all these interests you have, you never went to a psychic?
No, because it was kind of against the religion I was raised with.
Oh, really?
So that was a taboo thing that you didn't do.
Yeah.
And so in all of my healing experiences, I was like, okay, I'm going to let some of those old beliefs go. And I was listening to a radio show one day, and this lady, Judy Kelly, was on there. And I was so taken with her candidness and her down-to-earth readings that she was doing for people that I contacted her via email. And when she called me back to set the appointment, she right away said to me, did you know that your spirit animal totem is a hawk? And I almost fell out of my chair because I have known that since I was young that I had a strong connection with hawks. I didn't always know the relationship of that. But when she said that, I was like, okay, there's something to this. And so when I got my reading from her, right away she pointed out that I had an angel on my right side, and I said I knew that this angel was Archangel Ariel. And she said, how did you know she was there with you? And I said, because she's pink, and I don't know what that is. And she explained to me that it's a form of clairvoyance, that I'm able to see the angel's auras.
Wow.
And where they are in conjunction to which side of my body. So I know when Michael is with me, because his presence is so powerful and so strong, and he comes in right in the front, like, boom, I'm here. And Archangel Raphael for healing, and he's always right here when I need him. And he's green. He's emerald green.
So are they here now?
They've been with me today,
because we didn't properly introduce them. Hello, angels.
They are here, and they always are with me when I'm doing Reiki, because they amp it up for me. They're here to help.
But you can't see with other people. Like, you couldn't tell if we have angels around us.
No, not yet. I'm hoping someday to be able to strengthen those skills.
I want to know who's
Well, we
near
know
me.
Your grandma's always around.
That's
that,
for
that
sure.
That bird comes by.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Okay. Yeah, and came by on our camping trip.
See? Yep. It's very strange.
Some people see a butterfly or a dragonfly or a specific flower.
I see feathers, too, and I know it's my grandma.
Yeah, always. And that's all spiritual. That's the spiritual realm that's always around us to help us, guide us, and let us know that you're okay, or that your loved ones on the other side are okay.
Yeah,
and they'll know. They give you that sign because they know that are hoping anyways that you'll see it and say, okay, she's okay.
You wonder something so strange. I have a very close friend, and her brother passed away, sadly, and I had a dream about him the other day, like a visceral dream. I was hugging him. He was telling me he was okay.
Aww.
And then that day, she sent out an email, my friend, saying that in honor of him, they're dedicating this, like, wing in the school that he went to and different things. And I was like, I know that was him, you know, coming through and being like, you know, basically thanking her to honor him. I just know it. It was so strange.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. Yeah. And I am obsessed with fairies.
Oh, you like
fairies? I so want to see a fairy someday.
That's awesome.
That is on my bucket list, and I don't know how to make it happen. I wish for it. I pray for it. I do everything I can. I'm like, I'm looking. I'm just show up. So you can show up in private. You can show up in public. You can show up on the toilet. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just show up. I'm just
Well,
convinced.
It's so funny, because when my son was losing his teeth, he said, the tooth fairy's coming. And I said, what do you think she looked like? And he said, small, green. Like, he had a whole, like, vision of this fairy. It was so cute. But anyway.
Because they can, because their minds aren't...
clogged.
Yeah, they're not polluted.
They're not filtered
so
much.
That's not true. Those don't exist.
Sure.
You know, they haven't heard that yet, and they are able to experience that, what they really... And sometimes maybe they do see things that we aren't able to see.
So what was it like for you the first time you experienced being present with an angel? Did it freak you out? Were you excited?
It was kind of freaking me out, because I felt her so much, like even like as a breeze, like on my hair. And so because I kind of grew up with sort of superstition around that sort of thing, I was like, okay, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? And so I went to the store and I looked at some books, you know, and I started looking at angel books, and I'm like, well, maybe that is an angel. So in meditation one day, I just asked, is there an angel with me? And then I got a capital A in my mind's eye, and I got the word wind. And I was like, okay. So then I ran back to the bookstore, and I'm like looking through, and it turns out there is the Archangel Ariel, and she is the ruler of the winds. And
no
so
way.
Yeah, it gives me goosebumps.
I was just gonna ask you, was there any special significance to the title of the book, Winds of Change? So is that have any connection
I think that
to it?
Somehow came into it.
Yeah.
Because, life changes so fast, and,
it's a beautiful title.
I love the title, too.
So, absolutely. Yeah. We are talking with Shelley Diane Loveall, the author of Winds of Change, also a numerologist and a crystal therapist and a Reiki therapist. Boy, you just have them all there. I love it.
I don't plan on stopping. I want to continue to learn and grow
and
help others
too.
With that.
What's your next adventure? Is there another area that you hope to
I'm
going to
be studying with my Reiki master, Kristen Eichel. She's right over here in Agoura. And I'm going to be spending 3 days with her this weekend working on my master teacher.
Oh, really? So, oh, cool. So yeah. You can teach others?
Yes.
Very
so I'll
cool.
be able to take students that want to become Reiki masters.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she's an awesome person, and I give her a lot of credit for my where I'm at now.
Wow.
They're not easy to find. There's not a lot of masters out there, teachers.
Oh,
you really
see.
Have to have a master teacher to learn. Because they have the skills, and I think she's been doing this like 20 years. She's a yogi. I mean, you can talk about dynamic. She does a lot in with that. So, so I'm going to be spending 3 days with her this weekend.
Awesome. In addition to meditation, what other kinds of things can you tell our listeners that you think are really solid practices?
I do the meditation.
Yoga.
Exercise. I do more cardio exercise. I love yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I love yoga, but I don't seem to have time to do my cardio, my running, my total gym, and the yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So the meditation is it's important. That's an important one that I don't like to miss. And I have a hammock, and I meditate outside. The hammock goes with me.
Oh, cool.
My husband brings the screw, so at our weekend vacation home, I have that spot there I go to, and I do meditate under a copper pyramid.
Oh, cool.
And then also the volunteer work, I feel that volunteer work really is healing and beneficial for everybody, because when you're helping other people, you're benefiting all of mankind.
Sure. Especially those who want to be helped.
Yes,
right?
Especially
I mean,
those
what's
who
amazing.
Want to be helped.
That's what I always tell my codependent clients and myself. Like, wait a minute, why are you going to that empty well for water?
Yes.
There's plenty of water over there.
That's
go
true.
Help out.
Yeah.
You'll get
what
lots
a great
to
way
drink.
To say it.
Yeah.
What a great way to say it. Exactly.
Trying to get your groceries from a hardware store.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the women with the domestic violence, they've taken such a courageous step to get into the safe house. I mean, that's a huge step.
Sure.
And it's not easy. And they're courageous. And working with them, it brought such healing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a connection, you know. There's a lot of love that happens in that. So anytime, whether you want to help clean up the earth or save the dogs or, I mean, there's something that everybody can do that will benefit others.
Absolutely.
Even without you realizing it, picking up trash in the park,
yes,
it's good for everybody who goes to the park.
It's true. It's absolutely
true. So that's why I'm a big proponent of service work.
And where can people find your book, or is it not quite out yet?
It's an ebook.
Okay.
And it's on smashwords.com. And you just go in the search bar and type in Diane Lovall, Luvall, and the book Winds of Change pops right up.
Okay,
that's
great.
Awesome.
It's $1.99, so pretty much hopefully anybody can afford
it. Oh,
great.
Uh-huh.
And also on my Facebook page, Diane Lovall, Luvall.
And you have a website.
And
it's actonrainbowreiki.com, ACTON, rainbow as it sounds, and Reiki, REIKI.com.
Yes, and that takes you to the website where you can also find the book and then the Reiki services. And
awesome. Well, thank you so much.
It just flew by.
I know.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
It was an honor for me. You guys are wonderful, and you bring a great service to others by having these shows
to
help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for our Reiki session.
I know. It's
so
wonderful.
Wonderful.
What a
Next
gift.
Week, we have an awesome guest, too, Dr. Sherry Ross, the author of She-ology. She's a OBGYN.
OB, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, really
You're
cool.
going to have a million questions
a
for her.
A million questions.
I just might as well put a muzzle on myself, right?
No, you're going to have the other questions. So I'll have
these
questions.
One of these days, we're going to flip coins in the studio here.
Yeah.
Your turn. My turn. Your turn. Thank you so much. Love you all. Thanks for listening.
And one more thing. Find us on Instagram at Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly and Twitter at DocTherapist1. All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.